Thank you, Eric, and welcome to the Lawrence Business Magazine, where we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today, I'm pleased to have, Gerald. We have practiced pronouncing his name before, and of course, I drew a blank. Gerald Lillian, he's the CEO, and David Emerson, who's the Manager of Business Development at Allen Press. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
So Gerald, I want to talk to both of you guys a little bit, but Gerald, you're kind of the newer one to Allen Press, right? Or if you how long have you been there?
Actually, I think there might be about a year difference. Yeah. Okay. Gerald came, and then I came along a bit later.
So. I've been there 8 years.
8 years. Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk to you guys both about Allen Press, because it's in its 75 years in Lawrence, which is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. It actually was built after Quantrill's raid, but still very important time frame. But then also talk to you about a little bit more about your personal history, though, because I think it's kind of funny, Gerald, your background's kind of interesting with not having been in printing all your life. And so let's talk a little bit about you and how you got to Allen Press.
Okay.
And kind of your background a little bit and your relationship with Lawrence.
As I said, I came to Allen Press right about 8 years ago, coming up October 1st, 2005. I had been in medical products and diagnostics manufacturing and distribution for about 17 years and was looking for a career change and a move. And at that same time, Allen Press was looking for a different direction in terms of leadership, and Rand had been searching for his successor. So it was a good matchup at that time. It was a good fit for me, and it's been a fun 8 years.
Okay. So now, but it was a completely different business. I mean, you'd been a manager and stuff like that, so it was taking not only, so you took all your kind of management skills, but you got learn a whole new kind of business,
right?
Which is kind of fun.
Jumped industries. It was near the kinds of products I was working with are the kinds of things that our customers are often researching and writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was more on an adjacent industry, but certainly not in printing and publishing. So I had a lot of learning to do,
and
a lot of good help around the office that people love to teach. So.
That's great. Now, what about you, David? How did you get to be at Allen Press?
I went to school for a while for some commercial graphics degree at Pittsburgh State University, then moved up here with my wife to the Kansas City metro area and worked for a couple of publishers in that area for about 2 years, just doing some different print work in that arena, mostly in pre-press. Decided that I was on the wrong end of things. I was on the publisher side. I really needed to be on the printing side because I love printing. So saw that Allen Press was looking for an account manager, and the rest is history. I've been with Allen Press for about 7 years now, and then I just moved into business development with Allen Press early last year. So
great. Well, very cool. Now, let's talk about when you're talking about printing, because printing is one of those industries that has changed so drastically in the last, 75. Well, it's changed drastically in the last 20 years, but mm-hmm. it's evolved over the years from and just the quantities and sizes, and as we talked about, it's printing is not dead.
Right.
It's changed, but it's not a dead industry. There are certain things, I think, the newspaper, there's certain things that are published, I think, are being very challenged right now, but there's still a huge need for the printed product. But so let's talk about Allen Press, because I got this, you guys are celebrating your 75th year, which I think is incredible. And I got this, they have a great celebration book that I received here. And he said, so it sent me before that I was kind of able to look through and just see all the history, look at those old, big old printing presses. But let's talk a little bit about how Allen Press started, because you also just talked about Rand Allen. He mm-hmm. was the third or fourth generation,
second generation
of Allen's to run the press, to run the company. So let's talk a little bit about how this company started.
Right. Well, we started in 1935. So you're correct. A couple of years back, we celebrated the big 75, and we were a very different type of printer for the first couple of decades. But then in 1952, in a good relationship with some folks at the university, we printed our first research journal, the Wilson Bulletin, which is now the Wilson Journal of Ornithology, and they are still our longest and most loyal customer, and that kind of took us in a whole different direction of bound journals and magazines, mm-hmm. as opposed to more stock and job shop type of work. High quality work always, but we took a different direction in that decade, and we've been in that market space ever since.
And that was when was that you started?
1952.
52. So that's kind of when you kind of changed from doing. So when you turned into journals, so before that you were doing more personal print things for like stationery, letterhead, signage, that sort of thing.
Right, or? And some of their high quality, keep type of pieces, but we weren't doing much in the space of multi-page bound publications, magazines and journal type like we do now.
Okay, and also when I find out when you're now when you do. By the way, I should also mention that Allen Press is does all the printing and stuff, and does our Lawrence Business Magazine. So we work with them too. So and you guys do a great job. Thank you. Well, it's also when we were looking to be able to print our magazine locally was really important for us as a business magazine, and having quality group here in town, where we were very fortunate to be able to have that. So
well, and we always enjoy the opportunity too whenever we can work with a business in the community. Mm-hmm. There are a few magazines and publications with the university as well that are local to Lawrence, and it's great whenever we're able to provide those print services to a Lawrence business.
And that's what I say, so as clients go, did it change too? Because when you're doing journals and stuff, your business model changes a little bit, because you do a journal may be several issues, or it's like a yearly or a quarterly and stuff like that. So you can plan for those things. So it kind of changes your business model a little bit, doesn't it?
Right. We specialize in, and we prefer to deal with serial publications. So again, like the Lawrence Business Magazine, it's also coming out in a frequency. Mm-hmm. So we're not necessarily the strongest in terms of one-time publications. We do that work, and we do a very good job with it. But you're right, most of our customers, particularly in the academic arena, the society and trade associations, they're publishing on anywhere from once a month to maybe a twice a year, even once a year, but at least it's a regular publication. Mm-hmm. So we get to know those customers in a long-term relationship as opposed to the short-term transactional type of business.
Now let's talk a little bit too about physically the because I was looking, I did not realize that the original Allen Press was in the basement of the old bank building, which is where Teller's used to be, in the new restaurant there, the old bank building there. So it was down in that basement for a long time, right? How long was it down there?
It was down there for at least close to a couple decades before it moved over into the midterm location off of between Mass and New Hampshire. And it's interesting because we still have one of the original safes in the Allen Press building. And we now with the name change, it might be a little bit different story, but we hopefully will be going to the new restaurant and still taking customers there and saying, well, this is where it all started. But it was a very interesting story when you had the vault there and Teller's.
Yeah, hopefully they keep that vault there. Taking that vault out would be
bit of a project.
I think incorporating it is probably a better idea.
Yeah, it might be a little easier.
It's a beautiful piece of machinery.
And then we moved over. It's been it's been around 25 years or so since we moved over to the present location. And we still had people down at what we referred to as the main location up until 2006, early 2007.
The one on New Hampshire?
Yeah.
For that. Okay.
Right. So it's been right about 6 or 7 years where all employees have been in the one location over on 10th Street.
Okay. Now, when you're talking, one of the things too, when you're talking about printing, so you had, did you change locations just because you were growing? Were the physical demands of printing changing, so you just needed more space? Or how has the space aspect of printing changed?
Largely, it was because not only the business and the number of employees, but the size of the equipment was growing as well.
Yeah.
But we also had begun at that time to diversify into a lot of other associated publisher services and electronic services related to other things besides just printing. So the business really did expand substantially, and that was just not working for us over on the main location or off of New Hampshire. So we moved over to the 10th Street location, renovated that space, added on to it, and moved everybody in over. It really took a course of about 10 to 12 years to get everybody over there.
So. Now, you guys, one of the things when you're talking about, I was asking about, the kind of the history of Allen Press, because the community as it's changed over the years, and just, 75 years is such a great thing, because that's, I say a couple of generations worth of stuff. So let's talk a little bit about when you're talking about how it started, but let's talk about a little about the Allen family, because it's Allen Press, mm-hmm. and kind of their how they kind of started and evolved, because it's really been a family business. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's still 100% family owned. Rand Allen owns the company now. And again, he's second generation. His father, Harold Allen, Mr. Allen, started the company. In between Rand running the company and his father running the company, Rand's older brother, Arlie, ran the company for a number of years. So it is still second generation. And I think, I believe when the newspaper article came out, when I showed up, it was, you know, Allen Press hires first outsider to run company. So I still get teased and about being the outsider once in a while. In a few different ways, but it is very much a family business in more ways than one. We not only have family ownership, which affords us a lot of flexibility and some things to, in terms of how we can manage the business and the resources we have, but we have a lot of family in the business, a lot of marriages, second-generation employees where parents worked. So there's a lot of longevity, some very good long-term employees. So we try and take that family aspect and engender it into the business culture as well.
Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about how many employees and kind of how you're kind of the structure of the company itself when we come back after the break.
1320 KLWN, radio you can depend on.
At 9:24 on this Thursday morning, 84 degrees in Lawrence currently, you're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine. Once again, your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Gerald Linnelian, CEO, and David Emerson, the Manager of Business Development at Allen Press. And we've been talking just about how, you know, Allen Press has been here over in our community for over 75 years, how they've changed and evolved. And I really want to talk a little bit about how many employees, because I don't think people realize how big a company you guys are and how widespread you are. So let's talk about how many, because you guys employ a lot of people. What is your kind of your structure there? How many people do you guys employ?
Yeah, we have just a little bit over 260 employees right now. And we are not only a fairly large local employer, but we have a pretty broad regional presence as well. We've got a radius of employment that goes about 40 miles in every direction. Mm-hmm. So, again, we pull from, as David and I come from the Kansas City metro area, but a long reach, so 260 people. And we have a broad base of business, as you kind of referred to. It's a very diversified business. We have a big chunk of printing, but we are very diversified into a lot of electronic services, association management services that, you know, really help our societies and associations run their businesses and manage their businesses. We do online and digital publishing services instead of just ink on paper. And we also are a publisher and not just a printer. So we really can do about anything a society needs done or a trade association needs done for either their organization or the message that they're trying to get out.
Well, that's changed a lot, too. And we can talk to David about this, too, because as your business development, you kind of change your strategy. And I would think, especially as you know, the economy has changed and things, you know, people are doing cutbacks. You kind of, I know a lot of people revisited their business models over the last few years and try to make sure they restructure their companies. So how's that changed? What are you guys doing differently over there?
Well, you know, as far as technology goes, here in the last several years, we've all, you know, seen the internet take a lot of bear a lot of the load of communication that a lot of us do. So, you know, Allen Press definitely was an early entrant into that with a lot of our online publishing stuff back in the 90s. But we do offer, you know, solutions for customers that do want to, you know, kind of get that message out in an online format. So we have some online publishing services. We also, you know, have seen ourselves just kind of focus on the smaller print runs that we're seeing here lately as well. You know, digital printing is a new kind of newer technology. A lot, you know, if you go way back, you and I were talking about printing technology earlier, and you were doing some paste up and stuff like that. So we were taking paste up from publishers, shooting it on film, then taking that film, transferring it to a plate, putting that plate on the press, so on and so forth. And then you're finally putting ink down on paper. As time's progressed, we've gotten to where we're, you know, outputting film directly. Then we're outputting plates directly. And now with digital technology, we're sending printing directly to the digital press. So there's been some changes in technology over the years that have allowed us to adapt to those different changes in the market.
Well, I was interested when I was reading that your anniversary book that you guys did, how I guess it was Harold. He never really wanted to go to the he liked still the hot pour plates and stuff. I thought that was interesting. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't even get to see it. Real set type pressing is physically a different feel and thing on paper than the pressing we're doing now. Even though you can do incredible quality papers and stuff, just the actual physical imprinting where you're pressing down as opposed to laying something on a press page. So it's changed a lot from that. And you economically, it's probably a lot smarter and a lot less time consuming. Do you guys have employee wise though? Have you grown in employees? Have you kind of stayed the same? Because as technology changes, sometimes that allows you need fewer employees, but sometimes you need more because you're broadening services. So how has that changed the structure of the company?
It's been a combination. We have fewer employees. We probably have around 2/3 to 3/4 of the employees we had 8 to 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's been largely driven by some of the technology changes and equipment, major capital equipment installations we've done. It also obviously had some things to do with the economy as well.
Sure.
We had to make some unfortunate and difficult decisions, but we've spent a lot of our time trying to do retraining and moving people into the parts of our business that are growing.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for different skill sets. We're spending a lot of time this year trying to reinvest in retraining and core training, because the business and our industry is going to continue to evolve very rapidly. And we need to keep pace with that. We're not a bleeding edge technology company. Mm-hmm. Where we like to see ourselves as innovative and very fast followers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very nimble and quick on our feet.
Well, I imagine too, as you're going, because you're, from when you had, the old printing presses, when you need a lot of physical labor just to move things and create things, to now you have this technology, but technology is changing so fast and it's such a huge investment. Kind of making sure, I like when you were referring to yourself as fast follower, because some of the emerging technologies, if you were taking every one of those trains, you would be lost. And so figuring out what is best for your needs, I think but doing that at the same time quickly is probably an incredible challenge.
Right.
So good. Now, one of the things, so when you're changing things, so let's talk a little bit about the technologies. I don't think we got, because things have changed from the days when you're going on there where, things are set and, in the movies where, people's hands are covered in ink up to their elbows and stuff. And I know there's still a little bit of that, surprisingly, because you're still fixing equipment and trying to make it work. But let's talk about how the technologies change and also kind of how the business has changed, because you still have, say, 60% of your business, you were saying, is still printing.
Yes, it is.
Well, and there's an immediacy and an intimacy to print, really, that you can't get from another format.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can all go online and read something, and yeah, fantastic, great. But when you're holding something in your hand and you sit down, you're making an investment of time to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
When you, see just signage out on the road, I mean, that's immediacy. It's right there in front of you. It's something that you don't necessarily have to go out to look for. And I know a lot of advertisers as well do find an immediacy in print and an intimacy in print that they don't find through a lot of those other formats. So I think print, as 60% of our business continues and will continue to be a very strong part of the Allen Press portfolio. And I think a lot of our customers are going to continue to need print as they go forward as well.
I think our challenge is adapting to the way people are using print, not only as readers or people who are trying to get their hands on it, but the people who are producing it. And I think that as we adapt to that, we've found, and there's a lot of studies, it's not necessarily generational. Everybody thinks, well, as soon as our generation is moving on, that nobody's going to want to pick up a book. But it is a very, it's a radio show, so you can't see David and I actually.
Yeah, I know, they're all playing with
things,
their hands.
But, people like to hold something in their hand. It's a very tactile and personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so our challenge is, especially, there is still a lot of ink flowing and a lot of people with ink up to their elbows, and we love that, is to find where people are using print, how they're making it fit into their business and what they're trying to communicate and how they're communicating it.
And yes, I can see that, because print is different, because we used to, you know, magazines, and I love computers. I work on computers all day. I love, you know, my degree's in computer science. I mean, I love computers and that, what they can do. I really like working with them and, you know, the technologies, the things you can do. But I also get really tired of looking at computer screens and looking at a piece of paper and be able to read it and kind of hold it in your hand. I love, that's how I like to read things. So we can get, I think sometimes you get too much digital.
Mm-hmm.
So that balance.
And what it's done, I think if you look at the way people are finding content mm-hmm. now, I think, you know, back to the comments David was making about the internet and how technology is changing, the internet and digital magazines and online repositories and archives and online mm-hmm. journals that have entered our industry have made it very easy to find content mm-hmm. and to find a lot more content, which we don't have enough time to discuss the problems that creates as well. people just, you know, overwhelmed with information. Mm-hmm. But when people,
and not always good information.
Exactly. But I think people will still find that when you really want to absorb something and look at something, finding it digitally, electronically, and internet is great.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to work with it, you know, you want to hold something in your hand, you want to write on it, you want to, you know, the analogies, you want to be able to be reading something when they're telling you to turn everything off for 20 minutes on the plane.
You know, well, so. And the other counter to that is there's a permanence of print as well. I mean, mm-hmm. when you print something, when you take ink and you put it down on a paper, you know, we've got journals sitting in our library, and I know our customers have those journals sitting in their libraries that they've had for 40, 50, 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that aren't going away, whereas if we'd had digital files back then, sure, definitely, you're going to find them, and you're going to continue to find them in the future, but there's that immediacy mm-hmm. and that permanency to it.
Yeah, the digital world is great access, especially when you're trying to research and find things. As long, you know, those old journals, find that information, just where to start, the digital searches and stuff are incredible. But then finding the actual piece and be able to hold it in your hand is great. Well, that's one of the things when we started the business magazine, trying to, you know, do you need another printed, you know, magazine out there? And we found out there is definitely a big need. You know, we're covering an area that isn't being taken care of, but being relevant in a print world is, in an immediate world where everybody is instantaneous, is always a challenge.
Well, and if you have a message that you have to get across, mm-hmm. which I know with you and Lawrence Business Magazine, you have a very good message that you need to get across. When it shows up in front of somebody, they've got it right there. They didn't have to go seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting on a table in front of them, or it's sitting in their mailbox. They reach in, they pull it out, they open it up, and there's the information that they need. They don't have to make the decision to go online and look for it. So again, you know, there's that just immediacy to print.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're talking about the print itself and going digital and stuff, that's also really changed kind of not just the actual printing itself, but how you do business with your customers, I would say. So how has that changed your customer relationship, kind of the digital and the computers?
Just as far as, I'm not sure I completely understand the question.
Well, just like how, you know, because when we used to do printing, you know, you would be set, how you set files and do you know, finished product to, now
mm-hmm.
you're I'm uploading files directly.
Oh, yeah, then, you know, definitely. So now we can go, like I said earlier, with you shooting things and putting them, or doing your paste up and thus putting it to film, you can directly out of the programs that you're using build a file that, you know, you send directly to us, and then we output that to a plate. So there's a lot of that stuff that happened beforehand that mm-hmm. kind of collapses the workflows that you're doing on your end, and honestly collapses the workflows that we're doing on our end as well. So as technology advances, just like with anything, mm-hmm. it makes things more efficient.
That's good. Now, when you're talking about the business itself and your kind of your community, and who are, you have some local clients, but who are your, you know, your clients? Who do you guys deal with on a regional, local, national level? And how, what is your market?
The main part of our business is dealing with academic or research-oriented scholarly societies,
okay.
organizations, the publisher parish market, mm-hmm. if you will. So people are doing research, writing in the academic community, publishing in a journal,
okay.
peer-reviewed research. So there's so many wraparound pieces of our business that support that. You know, everything on the front end from peer-reviewing that research before it's deemed scientifically solid to print.
Okay.
And all the composition and pre-press services, editorial services that we provide, obviously the printed product, but also on the back end, all of the digital and online hosting for the journal itself. But we also, for those organizations, because many of our academic societies and trade associations are volunteer-based, particularly we deal with a lot of them that are in the small to medium size.
Okay.
And there are not a lot of large offices, large paid staffs. Our business, as it's evolved, has been really about, well, we can do that for you. Mm-hmm. They don't have the time to do it themselves.
More service-oriented.
Yeah, we find in our inside staff are so good and astute about realizing when a customer is having a problem and coming up with a solution for that. And it may just be solving their problem, but may end up, in many cases, as our business has evolved, turned into another business segment for us, association mm-hmm. services, being a full publisher to a lot of societies. So that's the bulk of our market. Then, as David said, we do a lot of local and regional magazines, but they're not the types of things that people just read and throw away. Mm-hmm. I would say that the vast majority of the publications and the customers that we're working with are coming to us to produce a product that is going to hang around for a while. Mm-hmm. It's going maybe not necessarily be a reference in an academic situation, but a reference on somebody's shelf at home or, their coffee table for at least until the next issue arrives, not read and tossed.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about these things, so these clients, are they nationwide, international? How do they find you guys?
Most are based in the U.S. Okay. We do have a lot of international customers and a lot of international business, but the vast majority of our trade and academic associations are based in the U.S. Now, their membership and their readership is going to be international as well. I mean, mm-hmm. Even though it might be an American Society of or the National Society of, they're going to have, if it's good content and it's a good organization, they're going to have members and subscribers and readers all over the world. And we can distribute to them either electronically or the printed product.
So you do fulfillment for all those?
Yes.
Those things. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things, too, has your business has changed. When I was reading your book here, how the fulfillment services and stuff like that have really evolved and become much more streamlined, but more complicated at the same time, I would mm-hmm. say. So how did that come about, and how do you manage, because that's also a heck of a lot of storage, I would think.
Yes, we have a fairly large warehouse, but as you said, that has evolved. You go into any academics office, and they're going to have rows and rows of journals. Mm-hmm. We have rows and rows and rows of shelves of journals, and we'll store those for people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think David referred to a lot of that has gone to digital storage. Mm-hmm. The number of copies people keep on hand for the new member joining or the member joining late and missing a few issues, that's really declined. And the aspect of being able to print digitally mm-hmm. and the technology in printing has changed to where you can really just print on demand cost effectively. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to print hundreds or thousands of extra, depending on the size of their original print run, and keep them around just in case. They can avoid the storage charges, mm-hmm. avoid the warehousing and the logistics, and just say, we need 5 more printed.
Mm-hmm.
Or hopefully at a time where it can become very cost effective to just do one at a time for a true print-on-demand model.
I want to talk about that because that's, to me, sounds a little, I'm not sure, the one-off ones and stuff like that, how to make that economically feasible and stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. And also want to talk about Allen Press and all the stuff you guys kind of do locally too, which I think is pretty interesting as a part of our community.
1320 KLWN, radio you can depend on.
I'm here with Gerald Lillian, CEO, and David Emerson, Business Development at Allen Press. And before we get back into the show, I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly by Allen Press and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. And you can also pick it up in some of our downtown boxes in front of the Eldridge and over by where Milton's used to be. I have to remember that restaurant's name. It's also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. And you can submit questions and comments for our guests and like us on Facebook, where you can find out updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We'd love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So before we left, we've been talking about a lot about the business, and we were talking about digital printing, and there's a little confusion because we talk about digital and how you receive files and then going on press, but then we also have a digital press, which is a little, which is a separate thing, and you actually have a new digital press. So let's talk a little bit about that and what the difference is, and why you guys decide you needed another press.
Absolutely. A digital press, it's kind of I hate to explain it this way to a lot of people, but I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Our vendor is not listening.
It's kind of like some of the office equipment maybe you've seen, like a copier, except on, as it was put to me at a conference I recently attended, crack and steroids. So it is a big piece of printing equipment, but it is toner-based. But it allows us to, with that toner base, create things much more efficiently at smaller runs. Mm-hmm. With your traditional offset printing, a lot of what you find yourself paying for in the setup and running is the printing plates, the paper that you're using for your setup so we can get up to color, and a few other variables along the way. With digital printing, since it's toner based, there's not as much run up to get to the mm-hmm. color. So at a smaller print run, it makes more sense. Now, there's a lot of other variables that go into finding what that crossover is, but it has given us the opportunity to look into some smaller print runs, as well as service the smaller print runs for a lot of our currently existing customers.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about, one of the things when you're talking about toner-based, so that's like our copier machines are toner-based. You have your CM, your four colors, your cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. You have those four colors. You can't do any specialty inks and stuff. You're matching everything. Whereas on your big presses where you're using inks, that's where you have your special color blends and all that sort of thing, right?
Right. With our traditional offset press, we're printing in four colors, mm-hmm. Cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. And each one of those, you know, has its own printing place or printing plate, its own unit on the press.
Right.
Each one of those has to be calibrated and get up to color. And then each one of those has to be registered with each other and line up perfectly to print. Again, stuff that goes into setting it up that we technically
don't have to
do.
That can make it crazy when you go on a press with that old calibration thing and that lineup.
Yeah, you've definitely been on a few press checks, so you know it on there. And we have people come in to do press checks as mm-hmm. well.
So the digital press. So you've had this. You've got this new digital press. What are its capabilities that are different? I mean, you said that it has smaller runs, but does it have limitations in what it can do? Does it have, or what kind of things do you do on it?
Well, right now, what we're focusing on with it is a lot of our smaller run journals that go down into the few hundreds of copies.
Okay.
It's really, been a great economical model for us to put those there. And it gives them great production, and it allows us to keep their costs stable.
So when you're doing smaller runs, so if people, I think Daryl said was after when we were off, when we were offline, that it was not, when you had customers that used to be publishing, 5,000, now they're publishing maybe 500. So
right.
It's a lot different.
Yeah, they may have had membership decline, but more than likely what they've done is changed their business model and said you can have print and online, or you can have a subscription that's print or online, and a mm-hmm. lot of people opt out of print if they're not really married to it,
mm-hmm.
and so those print runs have declined. So it's allowed us to maintain a good cost and pricing position mutually for us and our customers as those print runs decline. But as David is learning in some of his training and at the conference he went to, back at the headquarters of the company that we purchased the equipment from, Xerox, there's so many other markets and so many other products and services we can go into now that are value add for our customers. And that's really how he's going to be approaching the market, and some of our other reps will be as well.
So, Gerald, so when you were doing this, when you're deciding to purchase this new equipment, which is a big investment, and I know that, when you're talking about printing presses and stuff, we're talking a huge investment. So was it more to service your current clients as their needs change, or is it more to explore new markets?
Both. I think we're going to be rapidly moving into exploring new markets, because we had for 5 years done a couple of different attempts at using partners mm-hmm. to do this work for us, which worked out good in some respects, in that the technology changed so rapidly. If we'd have jumped in ourselves 5 years ago, and of course this is hindsight's 2020, and you want to approve the decision in de facto, but I think we probably would have invested in some technology that leapfrogged a couple times. And there's, especially mm-hmm. as the way the economy was from 2008 to now, we could have really stumbled over some of those investments. So using other people to do our work when we're really a quality and service-based organization wasn't necessarily what we wanted to do as a business model, though, particularly mm-hmm. when you're talking about ink on paper. So this was really more of a, let's get it in-house, get it under our control. The technology is stabilized. We have the right people and the right talent for it, and we're the company that needs to be doing it. So let's get it under our roof.
Okay.
So. And I think also what we're finding with a lot of our currently existing customers is that as we have this, you know, new channel available in our plant, we're finding that there's more and more things that they have that they've currently been doing and didn't even think of us as an opportunity for. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a situation where we're also talking to our currently existing customers and saying, hey, you know, you've got this and we've got this. And mm-hmm. is this something that works out for both of us? And in many cases, it has at this point.
That's great. So then that's one of the things, too. So people should to talk to you as you're as they're looking at different things, too, locally and stuff that are listening to us. Then maybe that might be something they like, because they always thought, oh, they're doing those manuals. They do those books over there. We're not.
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely, you know, primarily, as Gerald said earlier, a page publication printer. And, you know, at smaller runs, it's definitely something that we excel at. However, there, you know, are plenty of other things that we can do with our equipment that we have now. And, you know, we're starting to explore those as needs arise.
That's great. Well, also, let's talk about, too, as one of the things, obviously you employ a lot of people in this community, which is great. But but you've been a part of this community in the Allen Valley for over, like I said, 75 years. So let's talk, because I know that how important is it as a company, and as a family model, we're running out of time because we were pretty about printing, because I think printing is awesome. But let's talk a little bit about kind of how you guys give back to this community, mm-hmm. which I think is pretty substantial.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad we had the opportunity to do this. You know, I mentioned that we're a very family-oriented company, mm-hmm. and that's kind of pervades into the culture as well. We're a very cause and community-oriented employee base. They're always coming to the rescue of each other. I mentioned how good they were at coming to the rescue of a customer, but they are the best at rallying around a cause. And we do a lot of things for our employees, but we also do a lot of things in the community, United Way, and a lot of other charities that we support. I think the one thing we do that's a lot of fun is every year the employees get to vote on a charity of choice for the year that we're going to support. And,
okay.
and most of our efforts go to that charity. So while we're involved in a lot of different activities, there's always the one big one. And this year it's the Boys and Girls Club. And all the fundraisers.
It's a good organization. Yes. They do a lot of great
stuff. All the fundraisers that we do and all the activities and things are oriented around that one organization. So, but then we also do Toys for Tots and food drives and everything else, mm-hmm. Ancillary types of things. But there's always the one big event that everyone rallies around, and that's nice to see.
Well, what do you think? I mean, what do you think it is a business's responsibility to the community? I mean, how do you see that philosophically?
Right. Well, there's the basics in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, jobs and things like that. But mm-hmm. I think it's more about giving back in a lot of different ways and, mm-hmm. and making sure that we're a presence and a driver in the community. And that's one of the challenges for Allen Press, because we are a large company, large employer, but you don't see our brand around in the community.
Right.
So we're trying to do other things to make sure that we're seen and we're visible and know that we are giving back to the community. It's nice that we have more of an open workplace. We have a lot of people who are strong patrons during the day and go downtown for lunches. We have, as I described, our community base, mm-hmm. our customer base, excuse me. A lot of our customers come to us.
And nice.
And so we have a lot of hotel nights. We have a lot of entertainment and dinner. Dinners that we're doing in town. So, again, community involvement, patrons of the community, and now hopefully if David and the new equipment are successful, you know, maybe more local community business and a presence where you're actually seeing our product out there or our services being provided.
That's nice. So are you going to take up this challenge?
It's been assigned. No, definitely.
It's called quota.
It's definitely something that I'm excited about. You know, it's like I'd mentioned, I think, top of the program, it's always great when we're able to work with a local business mm-hmm. or a local organization to provide our services. And you know, it's great to just be able to drive over and see somebody face to face.
Definitely. So. Well, one of the things, too, as a printing company, though, are still a fairly small printing company, right?
Right.
But you're not you're a big company here in Lawrence, but and do a lot of stuff nationally. But as a printing company, you're not huge.
Right. In terms of, you know, being a printer or a publisher or mm-hmm. an association management company, you know, all those segments we're in, we're the small player.
Right.
So and we don't use the David and Goliath approach. It doesn't really work because we're not the low cost or we're not going to be the low price leader. Mm-hmm. So we do it with value add, innovation, diversified services. Again, with our customer base being that one-stop shop that they know they're going to get quality, they know they're going to get service and a high touch from our account management group and our sales group and everyone who touches their product or service. That's what's going to win for us and be able to, you know, get a little bit more on the price and just do our best to manage the costs and do the right things for the business.
And one of the great things about Allen Press, too, that I found is that everybody there is customer-focused, not just our customer service staff, not just our business development staff, but everybody at Allen Press from, you know, people in the press room to the people upstairs doing our typesetting and composition services to the people in our online publishing department. So that really helps us drive a quality product to each of our customers, and, you know, that's what makes us successful.
If that weren't such a true statement, I'd accuse the sales rep of trying to suck up to the point.
Well, one of the things when you're dealing so much with all these, you deal with a lot of smaller organizations and businesses too. So you're dealing with people that really appreciate and need those services. So that but you're also then dealing with a lot of different customers, which is, I would imagine, a big challenge because you don't just have two or three major clients. You've got a lot of smaller clients that you have to service.
Right.
So you have a challenge there.
Well, and the way our service, you know, selection has grown, that it's been organic. So there's a lot of overlap between a lot of those areas. I mean, our same clients utilize us for quite a few different services. So.
That's great. Well, thank you guys for being here. This is interesting. I mean, Allen Press is, they've been here for over 75 years in this community giving back. So it's great. You guys employ a lot of people and do a great job of printing our magazine. So I appreciate that.
It's great to hear.
Thank you. And thanks to not only the local customers who might be listening, but thanks to the employees. I'm going to steal from David here a little bit. And just please, we appreciate everything you do. Don't tease David and I when we get back.
Well, Gerald Lillian and David Emerson, thank you guys for being here from Allen Press. It's been very informative. Our listeners can get links to your site so they can check out a little bit more. And our magazine online at thelawrencebusinessmagazine.com. And like us on Facebook for updates. Each Thursday at 9 a.m., we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. The Lawrence Business Magazine, redefining the concept of business.